Let's turn in the book of Proverbs to Proverbs chapter 14. As we work through Proverbs, it never ceases to amaze me as we move verse by verse at a very slow pace, yet nonetheless a steady pace. It never ceases to amaze me how much there is in a verse, and how often when we're reading the Word of God that we read and we just read over the verses so quickly and we move right on and give very little thought to what might appear to be an insignificant verse or phrase from the Word of God. But we need to remember that it is the Word of God. We are looking at this morning, verse 31. 14:31. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. So our focus today, in the latter part of the day, I must say, is going to be on mercy. But before we begin to focus on mercy, I want to set the stage for this thing that is called poverty. Poverty and the poor. And hopefully, by the end of the day, we will have a little bit of a clear view of the poor of this world and how our relationship to the poor should be in relationship to the Word of God. And we need to remember that this is not a mere academic exercise, that this is the Word of God that we are dealing with. And it is so important for us to have a proper understanding of this. And this is the key, because it has to do with honoring the Lord. It has to do with honoring the Lord. Now, the poor are no less than the rich. They are no less than the rich. They are made in the image of God. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 2. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. The rich and the poor, they're going to meet together, and the Lord makes the poor as well as He makes the rich. Both are going to sink to the same humiliating level of death. The rich and the poor are both going to die. No matter how little money or how much money one may have, they're not going to escape death. Doesn't the poor have a special interest in the gospel? Matthew 11. And as you're turning there, this is what I was saying, that hopefully by the end of the day that we will have a little better understanding of the poor, and especially the poor as the poor come out of the Word of God, and we see them from the Word of God. Matthew 11, 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, Jesus is sending the message back to John in prison. Does it sound to you like those that Jesus is sending the message back as to what has been seen and heard, as though this were the wealthy and the rich and the well-to-do of this world? The blind, the lame, the lepers, the deaf, the dead, and the poor. These are the ones that Jesus surrounded himself with. And this is how John would know that that this was truly Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Son of God. And that it was the poor that were having the gospel preached unto them. James chapter 2. And interestingly enough, on Wednesday evening, we were reading this. James chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? This has to do with respect of others and respect in regard to having respect of persons. When one would come in with that is dressed very nicely and very finely, and then one that comes in that it is obvious is not at the same social level. Do you have respect to the one, and James makes it very clear, of bringing them into the seat of prominence, while you say to the other, and by your very words to the other, you show that you are actually oppressing them and putting them down because you consider them to be unimportant altogether. James says, don't you have this reversed? Isn't it the rich that oppress you while you turn around and oppress the poor and uplift the rich? And we are so prone, we are bombarded continually in every area of life about this, that we have that, as it were, greater respect for those that have more than we have for those that have less. Psalm chapter 68. Psalm 68, verse 10. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. Was not the gospel first spread by the poor? Matthew 28. Matthew 28, 16. And the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This is the great commission that is given. Who is it given to? It's given to, first of all, and primarily, the 11 disciples here. And are they wealthy? Or are they common men of common means, ordinary, unlearned? Acts chapter 4. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Peter and John, the perception here is that they are unlearned and ignorant men. They had not been schooled in the finest schools. But the Lord reached down and worked in their minds and in their hearts. And they, and it was obvious that they had been with Jesus. Is it obvious? And when I read this, I thought to myself, is it obvious in my life that I have been with Jesus? Shouldn't that be our desire, that it would be clearly seen that we could say that I have been with Jesus? What about the voluntary poverty of the Lord Jesus Himself, who has put a high honor upon a low condition? Jesus Himself puts a high honor upon what we turn around and consider to be a low condition. Luke chapter 2. Verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Here is Jesus, God, manifest in the flesh, coming into the world, that is born into a stable. We want to have, if you're going to have a baby, you want everything. You want this to be the best hospital. You want everything to be sterile. You want everything to have never been touched, the finest equipment used to have that baby and to care for that baby. You don't want anything. You don't want to bring the baby out. You don't want to get the baby out into society too quickly, lest the baby would get anything. And here, Jesus Himself is born into a stable, a filthy stable. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Philippians 2, 6. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, Jesus comes into the world, he makes himself of no reputation. Verse 7. And takes upon himself what? The form of a servant. A lowly servant. This is so topsy-turvy, and it's why that most of the Jews could not understand this. Because they weren't looking for that type of ruler. But Jesus was not concerned about a reputation. But even in that not having a reputation, God honors him with the greatest of all. And that everyone, rich and poor, will bow to that one that took upon the form of a servant, a lowly servant. 2 Corinthians 8. Second Corinthians 8, verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Jesus was rich. Jesus was God himself. And yet, for the sake of his people, he became poor, that we might become rich. Matthew chapter 8. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus was poor. So, Jesus voluntarily has put this high honor upon this low condition. Now, this being the case, what ground is there to oppress and to look down upon the poor as if they were some lower grade than ourselves? And we almost have a tendency to do that. And while you have the scale of The rich being here, the very rich, and then the very poor being here, and we find ourselves somewhere along here, and we'll strike that line, and wherever we find ourselves, it's anyone that is below us that we would look down upon as not having arrived at that place of prominence as we are. But we always seem to have that starting place where we ourselves are on the ladder. When we do this, when we oppress the poor, and we look down upon the poor, it is actually, and it actually involves the guilt of reproaching our Maker. Not the poor, but our Maker, the Lord Himself. Proverbs 17:5. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his Maker. And he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. And back to our current verse, 31. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his Maker. When we are reproaching or oppressing the poor, we're bringing a reproach upon God Himself. Proverbs 17:5 that we just read. I like Bridges' statement here when he says, "The poor is so, not excuse me, not by fortune, but by providence." So when we act in this way of despising and looking down upon the poor, the reproach isn't falling upon the poor, it's falling upon our Maker. On the one who made him and made him poor. Isaiah 45. Verse 9. Woe unto him that striveth with this Maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, "What makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands." Woe unto him that saith unto his father, "What begettest thou?" Or to the woman, "What hast thou brought forth?" Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, "Ask me of things to come concerning my sons, concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me." Bridges actually goes on to say that to pour contempt, he's talking about a coin now, to pour contempt upon the current coin with the king's image on it is a treason against the sovereign. And that no less contempt is it of the sacred majesty to despise the poor who have no less than the rich the king's image upon them. This view marks the contempt of the poor as a sin of the deepest dye, so says Bridges. Now, especially when poverty is brought on by some calamity, when the hand of God is therefore more manifest than to be glad at the calamities of others is a fearful thing. To sin in this way is to fly directly into the face of God. This is extremely opposite of what the Bible teaches, teaching us that even where a calamity may be the fruit of some misconduct on the individual, instead of being glad, we are to sympathize. Instead of crushing them and putting them down, to raise a fallen brother up, or even a fallen enemy. All of this slighting of the poor is evidently rebuked here. And when we think of the many things that actually unite the rich and the poor, should wealth be the one thing that disunites the two? The same sun shines upon both. One blood bought them both. One heaven will receive them both. And it may be that the poor may not have so much of this world's goods, but he may have more of Christ. So if this is the case, am I going to look down upon the poor here on earth, whom the Lord is going to raise up and advance in the kingdom of heaven? It is the very slighting of God's own work himself, his ordinance, and charging him with injustice, as if he formed the poor to be the footstool of our oppression. Deuteronomy 15. Verse 7. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year and the year of release is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. Now I'm going to stop there, but we're going to pick up with this passage that we have just read, and how important this is, and that it is a command how we are to deal with the poor and how we are to care for the poor and how we are to look to their need. And to the need of our poor brother, we are not to walk around with blinders on. Because when we do that, we're saying to ourselves, I hope they don't talk to me about their poverty. I hope they don't talk to me about their need, because it's going to make me feel guilty if I don't help them. And I don't want to help them. That's the attitude that so often creeps into our heart. And so we begin to look down upon that person unknowingly. And when we do that, we are bringing reproach upon God Himself. So this is all preparatory to looking at the principles which we'll look at later this evening. I hope that this little bit that we have looked at thus far has opened your eyes somewhat to the state of those that have less than what you have. I know it certainly has me. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, thank you for the precious, precious Word of God. And we pray that as we work our way through this, that we may have with each step a clearer understanding of it. And that this would be the case in your Word wherever we are and wherever we open up your Word and read it. That you would not allow us to go along, as it were, with our heads in the clouds, being unaffected by a truth that you would have us to learn out of your Word. So we pray, Lord, that you would be pleased to bless us this day for Jesus' sake. Amen.